We've been studying about the presidents, but we're going to take a little excursion in the Baptist history at this moment, and we're going to go back to a man by the name of Succotus Patricus. Succotus Patricus. He lived somewhere between 377 to 460 A.D. It is said that he probably lived to be over 100 years old. Some people say that he lived somewhere between 387 and 493 A.D. Now, Succotus was a pretty wild boy until he was 16 years old. His father was a deacon in a church in the British Isles. And these churches at that time, now we're talking about around 370, 380 A.D. The Catholic Church was not very strong at this time. And Paul said, sent Pudens and Claudia into these areas, and they established churches. And this is in very early church history, around 370 A.D. or so. Around his 16th birthday, Succotus Patricus was captured by Irish pirates. And the Irish were pretty much almost cannibals. They were very savage people at this time. And they took him back to Ireland. And he remained there for several years as a sheep herder. He escaped and went back to Britain. But he was a changed man, a changed young man. He went back to that church. He was so thankful that he had escaped, but that God had put upon his heart to go back into the land of Ireland and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. Patrick was ordained and sent as a missionary from the church that his father was deacon in. Into Ireland. Now we know that the Catholic Church claims Patrick as one of the saints. But he was not a Catholic at all. We're going to look at some of the things that he taught and some of the things that he did. As a matter of fact, we have some evidence that the Catholic Church at that time had actually sent letters demanding that he quit preaching, that he had no authority to preach in this area at all. Well, he did. He was sent out as a missionary by the church that his father was a deacon of in the British Isles. There are many, many, many Romish fables about Ireland, that he killed all the snakes in Ireland, that he did this, did that. He took his walking stick and planted it in the ground. It became a living tree, etc., etc., etc. Legends. Superstition. But what did Patrick do? What did Succotus Patricus do? Now, his father's name was Copernicus. And there was a deacon in the church there in the British Isles. He went there and he preached the gospel. Patrick went to Ireland and preached the gospel. He preached the gospel for probably over 100 years. Historical claims at all that Patrick was sent to Ireland by Pope Celestine as a claim. Period. But what Patrick believed and what Patrick practiced was contrary to the church at Rome. Throughout his life, Patrick acted completely separate from the Church of Rome. Neander's History, Volume 2, page 146, leading a foreword. Neander talks about Patrick in Ireland. W.A. Jarrell, in this book I have, Baptist Church Perpetuian in History, on page 472 through page 479, talks about Patrick or Patricus. On my website, discoverthewordwithdrjim.com, there is and this is a printout of that, St. Patrick, a Baptist. I said that on ham radio one time, and this Catholic out there said, well, there's no evidence. I never heard anybody say that Patrick was a Baptist. Well, what did Patrick practice? And what does the Catholic Church practice? First of all, Patrick preached the gospel. And what is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians? What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ came according to the Old Testament scripture. Galatians 4 and verse 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those that were under the law. It doesn't say anything about, the gospel doesn't say anything about a priest forgiving your sins. It doesn't say anything about confession. It doesn't say anything about baptizing infants at all. Patrick only baptized professed believers, and he baptized more than 100,000 believers in his life with his own hand, and he baptized them by immersion. Only. The ancient Britons were Baptists, sent there and founded and sent out by the Apostle Paul. Patrick only baptized believers. And to be a believer, you have to be able to believe. Now, how old is a person when he's able to believe and understand the gospel?
9 or 10.
Anywhere from 6, 7, 8 years old to maybe 10 or 15. Some people never come to the age of accountability, do they? Because of mental problems. He baptized adults or children that were old enough to believe and make a profession of faith. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter says that Christ came according to the scriptures, that he died according to the scriptures, that he was buried according to the scriptures, and that he was raised according to the scriptures. That Patrick established in the churches that he established, and he established 365 churches in Ireland. And all of these churches in Ireland were all independent one of another, but they cooperated together. Patrick ordained over 3,000 presbyters. Now, what is a presbyter? What is an elder? An elder is either a pastor or a deacon, like his father was. Deacons can baptize others. There's two offices in a church, the office of pastors and deacons. There are two ordinances in a church, and that is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Each and every one of these 365 churches and Ireland had pastors and deacons in them, and they baptized believers by immersion. And they observed the Lord's Supper, and we know that all the other early churches, they would have one loaf of bread, which typified our one and only Savior. Patrick never taught that a priest or a pastor or a deacon could forgive sins. In each and every one of those churches, they had a cup and they have a loaf of bread to observe the Lord's Supper. And we know that the Lord's Supper was taken from the Passover meal with Elijah's cup and Elijah's bread. They would take this one piece of bread, one loaf of bread, and they would break it. And they would, as the Apostle Paul would say in Corinthians, and as the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, take, eat this body, this broken for you. I died for you, or I'm going to die for you on the cross of Calvary. They didn't understand that night what was going on. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no part with me. In other words, unless you accept me as Savior and accept my blood, you'll have no part with me. The Lord's Supper and baptism, neither one, are vehicles of grace. There are two theses written by Patrick in existence today. They were written in Latin. In his theses, he talked about salvation, he talked about believing, and he talked about ordaining pastors and deacons and churches. He didn't talk about the universal church at all. All of them were local, visible churches. The Catholic Church says that Patrick established monasteries. Now, in Catholic monasteries, people go in there and they are basically celibate. They are not married. Patrick did not forbid for the clergy to be married. The Catholic Church forbid the clergy to be married in 1123 AD. That was a real problem. And it had been a real problem ever since. Patrick ordained deacons and pastors. He established seminaries, not monasteries. And Patrick didn't propose celibacy, as the Catholic Church says he did. He established seminaries, and he established associational works and meetings to where different the pastors and members of the churches would go together and meet together, and they would hear preaching, and they would tell what was going on in their areas all over Ireland. That's what we call associated work. There were over 3,000 elders that he had passed, that he had ordained in these churches. He had baptized over 100,000 people by his own hands. In church government, he taught that each New Testament church that he established would have elders and deacons in it. He never established anything higher than a pastor. No bishops, no what we call, what many systems call bishops and archbishops at all, nor pope. Patrick never did any great miracles like the Catholic Church said that he did. the great miracles that he did was establishing 365 churches in a pagan land, baptizing over 100,000 people himself, ordaining at least 3,000 elders in those churches, and teaching those churches to preach the Word of God. To preach the Word of God. They did not practice the catechisms of the Catholic Church. They had catechisms, but the catechisms were who God was, who the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, and who the Son of God was, what the church is, what baptism is, and what the Lord's Supper is. Those are the things that Patrick taught. Those early churches in America, when America was colonized, basically by England, every colony in America was carried over from the beliefs of the Europe. Every state or every colony in America, there was no freedom of religion. Every man that lived in that colony was expected to attend church. The church of that colony. And they were tithe. They had the tithe from their earnings, whatever it was. They had the tithe from their earnings to support that church. No freedom was established in the American colonies until the colony in Rhode Island, established by Dr. John Clark and Roger Williams. 1638 and 1639, Providence and Newport, Rhode Island. They had petitioned the King of England that they would experiment with religious freedom in one colony in America. And that was a Baptist colony. Some of the early churches came from the Welsh Tract churches in Wales, which were descendants of these churches that Patrick and his family were part of. They established churches here. During the Revolutionary War, there was a pastor by the name of John Gano. And John Gano baptized many people, and they say that he baptized George Washington also. The Baptists in America, well, they established the religious freedom. And by the way, the freedom of religion is a what? In the Bill of Rights.
Right.
In the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. It took a long time for that to catch on. Baptists don't normally fight wars. Baptists never persecuted other people, nor, and Patrick didn't do that either. The Catholic Church went out and took people in towns out to rivers, and they held a knife to the throat and said, "Do you want to convert or do you want to die?" Patrick didn't convert anyone by the sword as the Catholic Church and Islam does. Islam is still doing that, you know. The Catholic Church in some parts of the world are basically doing that in a little more humane factors, humane way, because you can't be a full citizen of the state unless you're a Catholic. Baptists never did that. Baptists had a lot to do with America and establishing a freedom of religion. Many of the Baptist pastors at this period of time, they got together in an associational meeting and they said they drew their swords. And they drew blood out of their veins and put it in a basin. And they dipped those swords, the tips of those swords, in that basin. And they said they would not sheath them again until they had freedom of religion in America. And that's where you have some of this. And all of this ancestry came from Patrick and the churches that sent him out in the British Isles and Wales. That's the real St. Patrick. The real pastor, elder, Patricus. Succothus Patricus. That's the rest of the story, as Hal Lafoon used to say. The rest of the story. Father, I send this little message out that it might touch people's hearts, that we might be thankful for what we have today, even though we see our freedoms waning. Father, thank you for what we have at this moment. Thank you for what Patrick did so many years ago in establishing those churches in Ireland. And we look and we see the evolution of theology down through the world and down through times. And we thank you that there are churches still today that preach your word and preach the gospel of your Son. And Father, please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.